Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Amen. Well, we're in a series called Built to Last. We're talking about relationships. And if you're going to be in a relationship, wouldn't it be great to build it to last? You know, we recently built a home. We didn't sort of build the house to last 5 years. We're hoping it will last us until we decide to move out and for the next family that own it and for the next family after that. And so when we build a relationship, I think the intention should be to build it to last. And I know that our world is probably not going in that direction. It's let's build it until it's inconvenient. But I think I'm with a group of people that understand that that's probably not the way we should be doing relationships. It should be built to last. And everyone said, yeah, amen. That's what we should be doing. And so today I want to speak to you about the things that will either build or bust your relationship. And there's a key concept that I want us to talk about, and it's called the love bank. Anyone heard about the concept of the love bank? If you've been at Lifehouse for a while, you may have heard it once or twice. But this is simply the way it goes. Every single person that you know has an account in your life. And when people do good things for you and say nice things and they behave well around you, people are depositing love money into that account. So when you look at someone, you see them as an account. Whether you know it or not, you've got an account with them and they've got an account with you. And the people who are nice to you, when you see them, you are emotionally attracted to them, maybe not romantically just yet, but you like them. The people we like are the people that have deposited love money into our account. The people that we walk across the street when we see them are the people that continually withdraw out of that love bank. So when something negative is said, when someone does something that you don't like, it withdraws money out of that account. So we can make deposits or withdrawals. And we get to choose how we do that. Now, what happens is when two people meet each other, you know, they're being nice to each other and so a friendship is formed, and that's one level. But if someone keeps depositing all the right things into that love bank, there's a good chance that what often happens is it gets to a certain threshold in that relationship, and that I like you turns into I think I love you. And it's called the romantic threshold. And that's where it turns into more than just a friendship. And it doesn't happen by accident. It happens because there was love dollars poured into that account. And once we are in love, then that changes everything. Now everything is effortless. Now we're talking to each other 3 times a day. And we're on the phone, and you know, late at night, and it's the whole, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, what's with that? Just hang up. Doesn't mean you love them less. Who cares who hangs up first? Just hang up. But no, it's just it's not hard work, is it? It's just easy because there's so much money in the bank account, so much love money. It's just so easy to do. And when I look at a happy couple, when you look at a happy couple, basically what we're saying is we are looking at two people whose love bank is completely full for each other. Completely full. It may not be completely full, but very, very much way above the romantic threshold, the romantic love threshold. Now, what can tend to happen is if you are in a relationship and then you start to take out money. Now, how do you take money out? By being a little bit mean, by doing things they don't like, by hurting them. Whenever you hurt someone or you do something negative in their life, you are taking money out of that love bank. Are you hearing that? You need to know that. Even with your children, when you do something negative, you are taking money out of the love bank. Now, if you do that consistently over a long period of time without making deposits, that relationship will be bankrupt. And that's when people make the statement, I don't think I love them anymore. What has happened there? You have simply let the bank account slip beyond the romantic threshold. That's when people make the statement like, I just sort of see them as a roommate rather than a partner in life, rather than a spouse. I just sort of see them, it's like we're just like buddies now. Or even worse, I see them as like a brother. I don't sort of see them romantically anymore. What's happened here? Too many withdrawals out of the love bank is what has happened here. And so I want to talk to us about that because I believe there is a way home from this. As you could understand, it's a very important concept. How many of you think it's an important concept? So the question is this: how can we keep our romantic balances? How can we keep enough money in the love bank so that we don't go anywhere near that threshold? Or I've got a better question: what do you do if you honestly feel like we've already slipped beyond the romantic threshold and you're already starting to feel like this thing is almost bankrupt? Well, I've got some great news for you. There is a God in heaven who actually cares about your relationship. He's the God of hope. He's the God of the impossible. He's the God that when he saw his son in the grave was able to raise him up by the power of the resurrection. And if God can do that for his son, he can do that for your relationship and get your love bank overflowing again, where you guys are back on the phone, maybe not on the phone, but you guys are doing stuff that is completely effortless because you love each other deeply. And I'll tell you what, there is a God in heaven who can do that for you. And he wants to do that for you. Actually, let me tell you the way Jesus said it in John 10:10. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what the devil wants to do. But Jesus says, but I've come, my purpose, he says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Did you hear that? People have got this concept that God wants to ruin your life. Friends, that's not the truth. Jesus wants to give you a rich and satisfying life, and nothing brings more richness or satisfaction than having a healthy relationship that you are a part of, and God is committed to giving you that. Come on, give him a huge shout if you agree. That's what he wants to do. I'm so glad there is a God who wants to do that. So I want to just talk to you very quickly for the next few moments about how, what can we do that actually puts money in, and what can we do to make sure that we don't take too much money out? So let's talk about those things, because remember this, maybe you need to write this down. You do not have relationship problems. You've got wisdom problems. You don't know how to fix it. If you knew how to fix it, you wouldn't have the problem. Listen, you don't have financial problems. What you've got is financial wisdom problems. If you knew how to fix it, then you wouldn't have the issue. And God would tell us that he's happy to give us the wisdom we need to be able to fix the things that mean a lot to us. Amen? So, how can we do this? Well, we need to put as many deposits in as possible and make as few withdrawals as possible. That's the goal, just like any bank account. That's probably news to some of you. If you want to save money, you've got to put more money in than what you spend. Some of you are like, wow, I've just helped you right out, right there. So in order for this to happen, this is where it gets a bit tough. Often the way we take money out and the way we put money in is through our behavior, through the things we say and the things that we do and the attitudes that we have. So we need to take the time to find out from our partners, because we're talking about marriage, we're talking about relationships right now, okay? We're talking about this. And by the way, let me just put this. If you're divorced recently and you're thinking, Jay, I would have loved to have heard this a few years ago. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I think God's going to bring someone else along into your world. So you need to listen up anyway, because you don't want to do it again and again and again. Hopefully not. Why don't we learn from our mistakes? There's forgiveness in God. God's happy to see you do it all over again, but let's do it right this time as much as possible, amen? So there's grace there, there's forgiveness, there's no judgment. God wants to help us. But sometimes I think he's a bit frustrated that we don't do the things that we know we should be doing. So let's talk about this. Take the time to find out what you can do. Listen to this. What can you do that will bring the largest deposit for your partner? Find out. Rather than doing a whole lot of things that just put a little bit of money into the love bank, why don't you find out what is it that gives you the greatest joy, hon? Sweetheart, my man, whatever term you use, muscles, I don't know. Find out what makes the largest withdrawals. You may be shocked because you've never bothered to ask the question. What you think makes the largest withdrawal may not be it. What you don't think it is, it possibly could be. Here's another way to word it. Hun, what do I do that makes you feel loved the most? Or, sweetheart, what do I do that makes you feel hurt the most? It's another way to ask the question, How can I put lots of money in and not take much money out is what you're asking. How many of you think that's a great question to ask? Well, some of us have never asked it. Let's be honest. Some of us have never, you're just doing your own thing. And you know, you don't even quite know where it's at. And then sometimes when they tell you that they're really disappointed in you, you're shocked because you've never bothered to ask the question. Come on, let's ask the questions. Not right now, but let's ask the question. Remember, as long as you're putting lots of love money in, how many of you know you're always going to be making little checks coming out? Is that right? We're always going to do things wrong. We're always going to say the wrong thing. But as long as there's a lot more money going in, it doesn't really matter that there's some money going out. You understand that? This is the way the Apostle Peter put it. Chapter 4, verse 8. He says, most important of all, he says, continue to show deep love for each other. I love that. Not just shallow love, deep love. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. I'll word it for you differently. Deposits cover a lot of withdrawals. That's what he's saying. Lots of deposits is going to cover a few of the withdrawals that you're going to make. Because I don't know about you, but there is a multitude of sins that I commit against my family, against some of you. But as long as I'm loving you and doing all the right things in love, then you can learn to forgive me and say, oh man, he let me down again, but gee, I love the guy. Amen? But for some of us, it's just continual withdrawals, withdrawals, and eventually we bankrupt the account. That's when a friendship's over. That's when a relationship is over. Are you getting something out of this? So let's just talk very quickly about some of the things that give us huge love deposits. There was a book written by a guy called Gary Chapman. And the book is called The Five Love Languages. How many of you have read that book? Just a show of hands. Okay, lots of you, that's great. Let me just touch on it then for those who haven't and to go a bit deeper for those who have. He basically tells us that every one of us have got a love language. The things that are done to us that give us the maximum deposit, right? Every one of us. And for some people, it's the words of affirmation, telling them that they're awesome. Do we have any words of affirmation people here? People, you love being told that you are awesome. Anyone? No? Okay, so that's great. So we can just hound on you, never tell you anything. That's great. Makes it easy. What about the touch people? Affection. There's people that need touch. They need, okay, can you just touch those people around them? Just tell them that you love them. Make them feel. Look, they're feeling the love already. Look. Oh, actually, I think something's about to break out down there, actually. Oh, no. Then there's the acts of service people. They just love when you do things for them. Where are the acts of service people? They're around you. Okay, yeah, just tidy up their seat for them. They'll be happy. Then there's the gifts people. Just buy them a gift and they're really, really happy. Yeah, there's hands going up. They didn't even have to ask them. They're just like, making it clear. That one girl just looked at her husband like that. Like, if you didn't know. Right? So that's great. We've sorted that out. And then there's the quality time people. Any quality time people? You need quality time. Okay. All right. Just talk to them right now. Just tell them that you do love them, right? Or something. Now, that would be words of affirmation. I don't know what you need to do right now, but don't worry about that for now. So there's the five love languages. I was speaking on this a couple of years ago, and someone said, you know, Pastor Rich, you gave us five, but I've got to be honest, I think there's a sixth. For those of you on podcast, I just rudely winked my eye. Anyway, they're the love languages. Now, why is it important to know that? Because you could be doing what you think are all the right things, but it's actually only putting $3 or $4 in every time. Or you could be doing some other things that are putting in $15,000 checks every time. So let's find out what it is that makes people feel the love. For me, I know some of you may or may not know, but for me, my love language, does anyone know what it is? No. It's the you're the best, honey. See, like I'm feeling the love. Like I was like, did you hear it? It just went shing, shing, 15 grand just went into my bank account right now. Right? When I get off this stage and my wife says, honey, that was the best message ever, which she's probably lying. But anyway, I just go, I love you so much. But funny enough, because that's my love language, I think that if I do that back to Helen, that she's going to go, wow. But she just goes, yeah, thanks for that. So when we have a meal, sometimes, you know, Helen will make me a beautiful... Every time Helen makes me a beautiful meal. Helen will always makes beautiful meals for me. And I will say to her, Helen, this is a beautiful meal. Now, Helen's a bit of a poet. Some of you didn't know it. But she will say to me, honey, I don't really care what you think. Just take your plate to the sink. And honestly, no, what I mean by that is, honestly, I can tell her the meal was great, and she'll just go, yeah, whatever. It doesn't really have an impact. It's like, you should be feeling the love right now. No, no love. But as soon as I pick up that plate, she's like, I don't know, I think she starts to see me like James Bond coming out of the water, with the bikini thing, whatever he's wearing. It's like, that's how I feel. When I pick up that plate and I'm walking toward, it's like she's just, and that music comes on. So I could be sitting there all day telling her I love her. It doesn't have a huge impact. Pick up a plate, put it in the sink, pick up a vacuum cleaner. Woohoo! Find out what it is that puts the maximum amount of funds into the bank account. Take the time to find out. Do you know, for some people, it is touch. There was a guy called Harry Harlow in the mid-1950s, performed an experiment where he took monkeys, baby monkeys, off their primary caregiver, which is their mum, and performed this this experiment where he gave them very little touch, hardly any affection to these baby monkeys. And the outcomes were extraordinary. What they discovered was the monkeys that experienced little or no affection from the primary caregiver began to show signs of depression, aggression, and sometimes death, just because they weren't touched. I've got a strange feeling that the person you are going out with, one of their highest things could be touch. Listen, I'm not talking about just in the bedroom. We're going to talk about that next week, by the way. Of course it happens in the bedroom. It's almost impossible to not touch them, right? Okay? Of course it happens there. I'm talking about when you're going to a restaurant. Do people know you're actually with that person? Yeah. Or do they look like they're just free game? Because sometimes you're miles apart. There's no holding hands. Do you know, that can sometimes mean more than some of the things that we think are doing, causing big love deposits. They're actually sometimes just holding their hand. I know for Helen, that means a lot to her. Especially when we go to parties, because I'm the party animal. I'm like, just let me at him. You know, let me at these people. And she's like, but you know, like, take me with you. And I'm like, yeah, but you've got to keep up. You know? It's the little things. Come on, some of you remember The Wedding Singer? Remember The Wedding Singer? Adam Sandler. Remember the girl that he was going out with? Julia. Almost Ghoulia. Right? She was going to marry a guy called something Ghoulia. So she was going to be Julia Ghoulia. Well, you know what? And this whole film goes on, and it's between Adam Sandler and this guy. She's going to marry him, but she decides not to marry the guy. What was the deciding factor? Because he wouldn't give her the window seat. That's what made the big difference to her. I'm going to suggest to you that some of the smallest things can give you the largest deposits. You know, in our household, it's the last person that gets out of the bed has to make the bed. Pretty fair, we would think. And most of the time, I'm the last one out, so I have to make the bed. And because Helen, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning, she's like, and so she's up and about. But once in a while, I will get out of the bed first, and she will still be sleeping. And then I'll come back home, you know, a little bit later on that morning or whatever. And I'll look at the bed, and it's not made. It's not made. I make it every time. I'm the last guy out. She hasn't made the bed. And everything within me says, make the bed. And a voice goes on, no, we've got a deal. It's my right. She can be. I make the bed. And so, I walk away and I don't make the bed. No, that's not true. I do make the bed. I do. I make the bed. I still made the bed. And when Helen walked in, she went, you made the bed. Now, you know what? I think that would have meant a lot to her, but it was something so little. We have got about 87 pillows that have to be all structured properly. It's like you're building, you know, the Eiffel Tower. You know what I mean? But at the same time, I just think it's the little things that we can do. Because, you know, there's a whole lot of things that we have to do. What are some of the things you don't have to do that could make a big difference to the bank account that we desperately have to keep above the romantic threshold level? Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can I just give you another one? These are just a couple of things that we can do or don't do, okay, in the sense of put some money in and stop making withdrawals. Do you know, everybody wants to be number one. And I think if you married somebody, that person needs to be your number one. Listen, not your mother anymore. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I saw some eyebrows go up then. Yeah, yeah. You know, when two come together, it's really important that you value that person's opinion more than anyone else's opinion. And when you do that, you're going to hear that bank account shushing, shushing. Things are going to be increasing because people want to feel like that they are valued. There was a guy that I was working with. He got married. Things weren't going too well in the relationship. She was always teary. And I won't tell you what background he was. He was Greek. And and I said, what's going on, sweetheart? She said, you know what? She goes, I cook these beautiful meals, but he's never hungry. So she goes, he's either like buying McDonald's or something. I don't know what he's doing, or he just doesn't enjoy my meals. So I have a private conversation with him. I go, hey, what are you doing? Why aren't you eating your wife's food? Is it not very nice or something? He goes, no, it's great. He goes, but what I do is on the way home, I always go past Mum's to say hello. No, his dad's passed away. So he's going there to do the right thing as a good son, right? Yay you, good on you, look after your mum. He says, but then my mum goes, sit down, you look at the skinny, blah, 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 right? And so he sits down and he has one bowl, two, three bowls, 10 bowls, right? The spit comes out, the chicken, the pork. So then he goes home. Now, okay, you can do that once, twice even, but when that becomes a regular occurrence, that poor girl does not feel like she is number one. And so all that guy needed to do was say, mum, I love you, I respect you, I love your food, but I'm married now. And I've got to put some money into my wife's love bank account. Are you hearing that? And that's all that guy needed to do. And that couple, by the way, are very happily married. Things are going well. All it was that slight adjustment where what was a major withdrawal is actually now a deposit into that bank account. Amen? Isn't that great that we can do that? It's important. It's important. Otherwise, he would have been living back with his mum if he didn't get that one right. Hey, what about this one? For guys, especially, you know, I'm going to be a little bit stereotypical, okay? But girls, if you're in a relationship, I'm telling you right now, I haven't met a man that doesn't want this yet. We all want to be respected. Let me tell you why a guy wants to be respected. Because he goes to work and everyone values his opinion. He makes great decisions. Everyone respects him. The girls, the guys, everyone thinks he's amazing. He comes home and sometimes he can feel like a naughty schoolboy. And so he starts to think, when I'm out there, I'm a man. When I'm home, I'm a boy. No wonder he doesn't want to spend much time at home. And so, girls, all we've got to do is simply respect him, because it's really obvious that you're the only person that doesn't respect him. But we can easily change that. Easily. You know, Aretha Franklin sang a song. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Some of you didn't even know what she was singing. It's actually R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? Right? Find out what it means to me. And so everyone's thinking that Aretha Franklin is looking for some respect. Actually, it was her husband, Otis, that wrote the song. Maybe it was a message to Aretha to tell her what was going on. Have a look at what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33. It says, however, each one of you must also love his wife. Guys, that's probably a hint. First, we've got to love your wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Really important if we want to put some big dollars into the bank account and stop taking money out. Amen? Can I give you just a couple more very quickly? We've got a little bit of time. Can I give you just a few more? This is probably something you haven't heard me talk about much, but I think it's huge, especially with Helen and I recently. I'm starting to see that this is huge. Recreational companionship. Do you want to put some dollars into your bank account relationally? Get your bank account way above that romantic threshold, okay, where it's still romantic. Do things that you enjoy together. If there's something that you enjoy doing, do you know whoever you are with, believe it or not, you're actually putting credits into their account and they're putting credits into yours, which is not an evil thing. If you go motorbike riding with your mates, or you're going camping, or whatever you do with your mates, you start to build a friendship with those guys, right? It's good. But do you know when a guy starts doing recreational things that he enjoys with another person of the opposite sex, it's really dangerous, because there's love money being transferred. Hey, listen, if there's going to be love money transferred, do it with your partner. And so Helen and I are learning to do stuff that we both enjoy together. You know, we went to Europe. We went to London for the first time together. And we walked around and we just loved it. We were just seeing London and we had such a great time. Actually, I got some photos in my office just recently of that beautiful time that we had together. And so we were there and, you know, I loved it. And in my mind, I thought, I'm going to go back to London one day. It was such a great time. Well, guess what? I had the opportunity to go back there all by myself just recently. You know what? It wasn't anywhere near as fun as I thought it would be. And it shocked me that even though I was looking at the same sights and the same feel, and London hadn't changed, only one thing changed. I wasn't with the person I love. And it's amazing how rich your life is when you're doing it with the person that you actually love. Now, some of you girls are thinking, hunting? You're going to make me go hunting now, Pastor Rich. Is that what you're telling me? Because my husband goes hunting. I'm not going hunting. I don't care. I'm not. I'll go hunting for a bargain. but I'm not hunting quail. No. Listen, there's got to be something you both enjoy doing. There's got to be. Besides what week three is all about, right? There's got to be something else that you do. Why? Because you're building love units. Don't do everything you enjoy with everyone else besides the person you love the most. Because then you're going to make the statement, we've got nothing in common. And I reckon you could have found something that you're in common. You know, there's a couple in our church. I'm just having a quick look to see if they're here. I don't care if they are. All right. There's a couple in our church. I'll leave them anonymous, okay? But he's 21 or 3 or 4. I don't know how old he is. But he loves Harry Potter. Yeah, he's a Harry Potter junkie. Yeah, loves the whole thing. Couldn't care less. Tell you to your face, I love Harry Potter. Well, did you know that there are now Harry Potter worlds? Do you know that? You can go to Orlando, America, and actually walk into, what's it called? Hogsward, or does anyone know? Come on, don't pretend you don't know. You all know what it is. What, yeah, right, and you can drink the, what's the drink that they drink? The beer, butter beer. You can drink butter beer. You can basically be a real nerd and go to Harry Potter world, right? Well, we caught up with him and his future wife, and we're like, so what? So we said to her, so what are you going to do? She goes, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she goes, you know what? I'm going to go with him because he enjoys it. And so she went with him and walked around and drank butter beer and was with her wand while he wore his little half little jumper there with the glasses and walked around Harry Potter world. Do you know what though? One thing you can't take away from that couple, they love each other. As some of you are thinking, I can't think of anything worse in my mind right now than to go to Harry Potter world. I think she probably agrees with you, but she loves him. And so she went for him. Now I'm just hoping he's doing the same for her. Because that's what it takes sometimes to put lots of money into the love bank. Is this okay? Come on, we've got to do things like that because it does matter. Can I get just a little bit dark on you just as we come to an end here? I just think this is really important. I'm going to show you a way to take lots and lots of money out of the account for a moment. Can I just show you? Do you know when you have an anger outburst, you are drawing down mega bucks out of the bank account? Guys and girls, I'm talking to both of you right now. Anger outbursts are one of the worst things you can do. It will send your bank account into bankruptcy so quickly. I don't think you could do enough in putting money into the account. Maybe you could, but I'm telling you right now, you better slow them down. This is what the Bible says about it. This is how powerful it is. Proverbs 29:11, it says, fools vent their anger. Do you want to be known as a fool? Fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. Listen to what the Bible's telling you. You can hold it back. I'm going to say that again. Look at what the Bible's telling you. You can hold it back. You don't have to yell and scream and have anger outbursts. But I was raised that way. But the Bible's telling you, you can hold it back. But you don't understand. That's what my parents taught me to do. I know, but the Bible's telling you that you can actually hold it back. Yeah, but I don't, but Pastor Richard, it's just who I am. But the Bible's telling you that you can hold it back and you can quietly communicate so that the Bible doesn't call you a fool. The Bible's calling you a fool if you vent your anger. Don't do it, friends. It takes just too much money out of the account. Can you come back from it? Yes. Talked to a young guy recently. I was really concerned about him because once in a while, he's in a situation where someone is venting their anger really aggressively. And I said to this young guy, are you okay? Because I honestly thought he was just going to let loose and say, oh man, I'm so angry. Do you know what he said to me? Pastor Rich, I've got to be honest with you. Yes, that does happen sometimes and I get disappointed. But he says, but I've got to tell you, that same parent put so much love into me. They take me to places where I want to go. They do things for me. I can forgive the anger outburst. So listen, you can come back from it, but you better pour some mega dollars on from the other side. Or why don't you just pour the mega dollars in and don't take money out? Like, you don't have to take money out of the account, by the way. You can just let it get full and have a very deep and rich relationship. Is this okay? Sorry, I'm not going to apologize, but it does need to be said. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. Do you know when you've got an anger outburst? Do you know fear and love can't live together? So in any given situation, you've either got love in the room or you've got fear. When there's an anger outburst going on, fear is ruling the room, which means love has to leave. When anger wins, love loses. And so I just want to challenge you. Is this okay? So let me just end with this. Let me end with this by telling you, I don't know how you are feeling right now, whether you're thinking, I have almost bankrupted the account. Well, you're in a good place today, because there is a God who can help us all from the inside out to start saying the right things, doing the right things, that by this time next month, you could be the sort of person that says, my relationship has grown. There is so much more love. I really feel like God is doing something in my life right now. And I don't know whether you fit that category right now in your life or not, but I want to tell you, God wants to make your relationship where it is right now even better. Some of you are going, I'm so far away from that relationship threshold, I can just sit back. Why? Why do that? You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow that's going to take a lot of money out. Why wouldn't you just keep investing and investing and investing in anything you could do today that would give you more money in that bank account tomorrow? Why wouldn't you do that? Of course we would do that. But let me tell you something. It's very difficult to do all by yourself. Otherwise, you would have already done it. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are thinking, what are you talking about? Okay. God on earth, we call him Holy Spirit today. And he can interact with you on a daily basis. Now, why is that important? Because one day I came home, I was very tired. Very tired. And I had a plan. I was going to come home, park the car, open the door, get on the couch and just have a sleep because I was so tired. I had two kids at the time. Helen was a full-time mum. And that was my plan. As I put the key in the door, I cannot forget this. This is 1995. I put the key in the door. I go to turn the lock and God speaks to me and says, don't you dare get on that couch. Go and help your wife. And I'm like, devil, get away from me. But then I thought, that's definitely not my thinking. That's not half Armenian, half Lebanese thinking, I assure you right now. That must be God. Don't you dare. And so I took the key and I turned it around and I walked in and I thought, what's going on in my household that God would have to speak so clearly? And all it was I had a very tired wife looking after two kids who were not doing too well that day. And all she needed me to do was say, hun, you go have a rest. I'll look after the kids. I don't know whether I would have bankrupted the account that day. I don't know how bad it would have been. But all I know is thank God that he's involved in my relationship. And he can be involved in all of yours. He doesn't love me more than you. And he can help you today. But you need him in your life. We need God in our lives. That's why we need God in our lives, by the way. Because some of us, our upbringings just weren't great. And so we're doing things that are causing damage over and over again. But God says, I can change that in your world. But you've got to let me. Got to let me in. And if you let him in, he can do what he's got to do. Do you know who the best relationship expert is? Jesus. He's awesome. Imagine if you let him into your life and literally let him take over. But through you, he's not going to possess you in a negative sense. But what if he uses your personality, but his attributes? You're going to be a great dad. You're going to be a great wife. You're going to be, because he's awesome. That's why we love him. This is the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion, it's all out there. Christianity is, it's all in here. God is in us, working his way out. Isn't that awesome? This doesn't just apply to husband and wife. It applies to dad, to son. You know, some dads, come on, you've got to start pouring some more money into that love bank so that when you have to have a tough conversation with your son one day, it hurts him, but he says, I know my dad loves me. I know my mum loves me. Come on, we've got to get good at this stuff.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.